Spirit. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, praise God. Now, the writer of Hebrews says, verse 1, therefore we ought to give them more earnestly to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, the Bible says, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's take 4 together. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So we said that God further confirmed. Now, they were talking about, they saw Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. Acts 1:8 and Luke 24:49. They said, we saw Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus. You know that song? He's so handsome. You know it? Than any man I know. Darling Jesus. That's the first one. Oh my, you know, it was used for one goal like that. Against the devils. You don't know that goal. There was a Jesus. You know, we have a Jesus conquered the devil. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just pray in tongues. Don't bother yourself. You don't know. You know, and then we say, I've seen Jesus. So you guys say, I've seen Jesus. So it was good enough for that. I've seen Jesus. I was there when he rose. I was there. Bible says they gave that testimony. God now gave them further accounts, further confirmation, such that the things that Jesus did continued with them. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. I sense to say this, that your testimony of your Christian walk this week and weeks to come will be further attested to with signs and wonders.
Amen.
Those who never took your faith as seriously will do so.
Amen.
As the streams of miracles flow through you.
Amen.
In the glorious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Says God, further, he confirms it. So when you speak, he confirms it. He confirms it. You know, I was sharing a testimony of the gospel somewhere. It was actually in our house. And there are these people, they will mock us when we're going for a prayer meeting or anything. So they now spoke to me about a girl who just came across. I said, a girl, if I remember, I did very well, a Muslim name. They said she was a witch. Now, anybody call somebody a witch, forget it. That's a small witch. So I said, oh, woo. She said, she's here. That what happens is, there was a particular tree that anyone, some funny, mysterious stuff like that. So I said, hey. So I asked one brother, the fellowship, to bring cutlass, and we cut the tree. He said, the next thing, go and bring her. A small girl, everybody was afraid of this small girl. I said, go and bring her. I laid hands on her, took her to the house. My house. No witch can come there and be a witch. And we got her born again. So from that day, from that house, they used to mock. He said, ah, good afternoon, no man of God. That's God bearing you witness. Hallelujah. He bears you witness. His signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. Diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. The miraculous is our realm. The word miracles there is power. And I have an emphasis I want to share with us now. And how we don't have to wait for a service. Usually, many of us need to know how to receive the power of God. I was saying in the first service that, no, right now in this service, the power of God is here, you know?
Yes,
sir. So I was saying that, you know, that the first day, now there could be a town, maybe for many years or city, they don't have electricity. But is it that they don't have electricity, or they don't know how to generate it? Because electricity is often generated by natural resources. So, usually the power of God will be somewhere, but many of us don't know how to receive it. We don't even know, we can't even recognize it. In Mark's Gospel chapter 5, and listen well, there was a woman with the issue of blood. Pay attention to this one now. She's been sick for 12 years. 12 years. 12 good, great years. She had gone to doctors, never got better. 12 years. You know, 12 years is a long time. There are people like that, if you give a word of knowledge about their case, they will not even remember that they are sick. They won't even think it's sickness again. You say, that's my problem now. They put their name on it, my problem. If you look at us today, after how many years, we still call the woman with the issue of blood. Is she still with the issue of blood? First name, woman. Surname, issue of blood. We have not changed. 12 years. She got worse. So every time they go to Luth, they'll say, that case, you know that case, all the medical students, that case, and whatever I say, you guys just forgive me. Thrombosis, pombosis. They will now use our picture. See this. This is how it is. It's getting worse because of the cycle of the, they say, and I'm taking notes about that sickness. So she was used to it. But when she heard of Jesus, pay attention there. She heard of Jesus. She now said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now you think that touching Jesus' clothes was something very unique by what she said. It wasn't unique. Did you see people that they even slapped him with his clothes? Some even took a bet on the same clothes. But one woman said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She went there. Now, listen carefully. Jesus was going to the house of Jairus because Jairus had just talked about his daughter and he's going to the house of Jairus. So the ushers were trying to clear the way. He said, hey, move, 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 move. Now, you notice sometimes the power of God will fall in a meeting and it will fall on someone else who will get on the floor and the ushers will be arranging the chair. Someone has asked me before, how come the usher did not fall? How come that's what you saw? So Jesus is moving like this. The usher says, hey, move, hey, move, hey, move. Now, Acts 10:38 says, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost, and then with power, he went about. So everywhere he went, he had power. You know, I showed you last week in Luke 5:17 says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. But who was there? Pharisees. Sadducees. And they were looking, they were there to criticize his teaching. His teaching. They were, they want to catch something from what he says. But there were some folks who were outside. They recognized what was inside. Those inside did not recognize. They were outside. They had to, and it's good to have good friends. They had to bring him through the roof. Through the roof. Inside. Jesus saw their faith. Said, your sins are forgiven. When he said, your sins are forgiven, they said, who are you to give forgiveness? That's why they gave him the charge. To find fault. There's which one is easier. Your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and walk. As soon as they take up your bed and walk, and the man began to walk. They were not even satisfied. They said, on Sabbath day, now, I'm persuaded, I can say it before Jesus, that many of them were sick. But they were never healed. Was the power of God there? Did they see it? No. It was right there. It was right there. Now, same woman with issue of blood. She's touching his clothes. Others were touching. So when Jesus, now listen to this man. When Jesus now said, who touched me? They play. Who touched you here? With the crowd. Someone will say, see certain. Jesus said, But there was a woman who didn't come to church for that. Hallelujah. She said, so what you say before a service matters a lot. What you say during the service. Every time, look at Richard, what's the time again? What are you finishing? That's what you are going to get. She said, if I touch his clothes, she said, who touched me? Now, listen to this part. How come Even his own apostles say, what do you mean by who touched you? That means they had gotten so used to him. They didn't know what he carried anymore. They had gotten so used to him. You know, you can get so used to going to church. You will know this is the house of God. And the power of God is working here. And the Holy Ghost is working here. Are you following what I'm saying here? You can get used to it. I was telling some leaders. You can even get used to ministering to the sick and not know how to receive healing. Recognition is very vital. The woman knew that Jesus had something. He knew it. He could recognize what it was. Recognize it. Praise God. Even those close to him didn't recognize it. We have to be very careful with familiarity. In Mark 6, Jesus went to his own hometown where he was born or where he belonged to. And the Bible says he could do no mighty work. He could do no mighty work because he kept saying, who is this guy? Is this not Jesus? We know him now. We know his primary school. What is, how old is he? We don't have his sisters. You know, and so beware of people that want to talk down on something God is doing. I don't stay around people like that. I don't try to even listen to you. Beware of people who just talk down and say, what's it? They just, you know, and they're so carnal. What is it? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Are we even sure it's real? You know, they talk like that. What wisdom is they were questioning it. And many times, some of the answers some of us are looking for are with people we criticized. Just hold on. The Bible says Jesus said, he marveled. That was one of the times Jesus marveled. I go, what manner of unbelief is this? The Bible says he couldn't do any mighty work. He couldn't do any mighty work. Not that he didn't want to, he could not. Why? They didn't recognize him. We must learn to honor what God honors. If God puts his honor on something, you must see it that way. And never let familiarity of your church and other things I'm going to talk about shortly, because this service has a very special ministry that we're going to receive. Are you here?
Yes,
I share the story often of two things that happened almost at the same time. I was a little bit, now I've been in ministry before then, and I had this person who had been ill of a particular case. A case that it required a lot of things. Then that year was the last years of Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger is not a pastor. If you're an Arsenal fan, you will know what we faced. The last years of Wenger, when he was buying Maron Shamak, was buying Santos, Metasaka. At that point, you say, what's going on? So, we'll almost be scared in every game. So, that Sunday, was it Sunday, Saturday? I wasn't even in my element. So I just checked my Facebook and saw someone drop a message. Please, can I have your number? Said, I think my cousin or so dropped your name a few days ago. Now she is in a critical condition. Actually, it's a coma. And said that I should reach you. So I looked at it. Wenger is in my mind. I'm like, why in the world would he play this player? You know how we fans are the best coaches. So I just said, hey. So I dropped my number. And I think I got the guy's number. I said, okay, let's just call the person. So my mind wasn't on the thing. So I said, in Jesus' name, put the phone where she is. She in Jesus' name, be healed, be whole. God's power is working. And I dropped it. And the lady got well instantly. Now listen, there was not someone I knew who had the same case. Now I'm not saying that's the case, but I just was wondering how come this person didn't receive. So I now had to call and talk. So I said, what do you think happened? Because I was bothered. He now asked the question. He said, what does the person close to you, what does the person call you? I said, my name, first name. How does the person see you? He said, that's the difference. You can't get what you don't see. Now, the person has his own pastor and could receive from his own pastor, no doubt. I'm not saying the person has no honor for spiritual authority, no. The person actually does and can, should, and would receive from his or her pastor, no doubt. But I'm talking about me. He said, this other person saw you differently. That's why in Jesus' hometown, they said, he is just one of us. But the woman with the issue of blood did not. She saw someone who was literally a house for the power of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, you know, there was one meeting I must have shared with you. We had a healing service and people got healed in the numbers. This was 94, I think. And then one brother stood. His name is Darry, I can't forget. He now stood outside after the meeting, I want to see you. Then he told me that he wanted me to settle something with me. I said, what was it? He said, you know, that day that you came, you said this, I just didn't like it. So. I said, okay, I apologize. He said, yes, I'm now free and all that. Then he now said, actually, I will have come out for you to pray for me, but I wanted to resolve this first. Can you pray for me now? Now listen to this. And you must know this one. I'm going to say it in a way that I don't want it to confuse you. Sometimes, such miracles happen at a particular time. Now, sometimes you're ministering, then you give a call. Some people won't come out. They won't respond. They will not come after the service. I usually like to tell them that it's not the same way I am now. It's not the same way. So I told the guy, I said, you will have come out in that meeting. You should have. You can't time things for God like that. I said, you should have come. He said, I just said, because my heart was not. I said, you should put those things aside. I remember two friends older than I was. I was in the meeting. So one of them just called me and said, he's upset at another one. I said, what happened? He said, well, he came to his meeting. He didn't tell him about something. He was going to minister to some people. He didn't tell him. And then he ministered. So the other person called and said, he didn't mean it. So I knew, okay, he shouldn't have ministered. He called people, and it was about healing. So I now asked one question. I asked the other question. I hope people were ministered to, Shah. He said, yes. I said, very well. We'll resolve the other one later. Because we can't say because we are, and then people get sick and go and die. Some things must be priority to you. Are you here? Are you here? And that's how it is. You must put honor on what God has placed his honor on. God's place is honor on men and women. God's place is honor on fellow believers. God's place is honor on the church meetings. Put your honor there. There are people today struggling with areas of their lives where they need miracles because they have lived in dishonor. What is honor? I'll tell you what it is. It's a simple thing. It just means to see something the way God sees it. I was talking to pastors yesterday. I said, you must see your church members the way God sees them. You cannot bring in your personal opinions. No, you can't. Because God has put people into your life. For you to be exemplary to them. For you to minister to them. And get them to fulfill God's plan. You must see them the way God sees them. I told them, you must honor those that God has given to you. See them that way. Jesus saw Peter and all the apostles. They erred. They backslid. They misbehaved. But you know what? He never reduced their value. He taught them. He called them brethren. He sent them out on the same mission. In spite of their flaws. A pastor must have faith in people. Must have faith in the people he's teaching. That's why you will never see me preach and say, you people are like this. I don't do things like that. Because I say what I want you to become. Hallelujah. I know you are spiritual stalwarts. I know you are doing the will of God. I know you are led by the Spirit of God. Because that's the faith I have in you. You will never see me discuss a church member with a friend. I don't do it. Even those who have left, you will never. I don't do it. A friend told me, I noticed it. I said, I won't. Even if I want to ask you something that is about someone that I don't have enough information or counsel, I won't let you know he's a church member. I'll say, as a brother like that, you know, the way I will say it, you will never guess. What of knowledge we will know? Aha, you will never know. I will let you know. You know, because I want to honor the people of God. Respect what God has placed on their lives. Sometimes they are not yet there, but they will get there. They will. So learn to see someone the way God sees them. The way he sees them. The late Archbishop Ridahosa, he went to visit T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne now had a son, grandson actually, who looked like, I mean, this was somebody, he was into drugs and stuff like that. The Archbishop said, God's hand is on you. Imagine someone that they are trying to tell you that he's a bad boy, yo, he does this one, and just laid hands on me, and said, follow me! Now, as at 2010, the guy raised over 20 people from the dead. Hallelujah. See, we should learn to see what God sees. See, all those things you read in social media, it's not God, though. Do you understand? Learn to see what God sees. If God is going to tell you about someone, he will use a gossip. Who agrees? If God wants to tell you something about someone, would you use a gossip? No. Would you use someone hacking someone's phone? Recorded messages? Amen? He won't do things like that. We do things that it brings dishonor to what God is doing. Now, what I want to talk about today is interesting. I'm not there yet. We should learn to see people the way God sees them. To see them the way, see, they could be your cousin, anything. They could be anyone, anywhere. It could even be your child. I always use my mom as an example. Now, I'm not asking anyone to do this. But it's been almost 30 years that my mom called me by first name. I've tried my best to change it. I said no. Because there was a reason for it. And she told me it was something very supernatural. She doesn't. She just has that sense. The fact that you are someone's parent or sibling is a privilege. Is that clear? It's a privilege. It's a privilege. We should learn to receive from people close to us. If you can't receive from people close to you, there's a problem with you. I'm saying your wife, your husband. You know, when it comes to that marriage one, we have seen ourselves see finish totally. Total. You know, it's before you get married that you'll be doing speak and span. When you're married, you just part, go. What's going on? Nothing there yet. You get it? So there's a way you now begin to see yourself in, you know, humanness. You make errors at home. Why did you do this? You know that. But in all of that, don't forget the person in your house is a woman of God, a man of God, a woman and man of God. There was someone well known to minister the miraculous in the 60s. Somehow, the wife had a condition that was the easiest miracle he saw in his meeting. So he now asked the Lord, why? I may not get this story totally precise, but I know, I mean, the substance of it. The Lord said that there was a day that she shut the door on you and said something about your call to ministry. That was it. You know, we should be smart. We should be very smart. This is not just about healing, no. Anything. You have people leave, there will be someone in their house who ministers to others. They will now go to a far place. No, your attitude is the problem. Your attitude is the problem. See, I believe something. I write it down. God establishes us in the relationships where he puts enough resources that will help us in life. If we can just see it. And I'm saying this to homes. Do you know that the healing power is in your family? Do you know that there's prophecy in your family? Do you know there's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirits in your family? Do you know that at that dining table, when you are eating, any day of the week, do you know that there are gifts of the Holy Ghost there? Do you know in that bedroom, the grace of God is there? Do you know, right there, I'm not saying in church, I'm saying in that bedroom, a miracle can happen in that bedroom. Do you know that that thing you are believing God for, sometimes I'm praying about, someone close to you has something from God that will give the answer. If we can just have the honor check. Now, honor doesn't mean I'll worship somebody. No. It just means I will see you the way God sees you. It just means I will see you the way God sees you. I always tell you this one. Now, a pastor must never deny his humanity. A pastor must never see himself as someone who is above mistakes. It's a foolish thing. A pastor must never. A pastor can say, see, I'm human. I make errors. He should say it so often so that you will know that the excellency is of God, but the power is of God, not of him. However, for you, that is not what you are going to be seeing. Do you understand? Now, the pastor will say that he has to remain humble under the mighty hand of God. For you to receive, God is not saying, I know my pastor is human. You are being stupid. That is his own confession, not your own. Your own is that he's the man of God over my life. God has given him things for me to receive. The same goes into all our relationships. We must know how to receive from one another. We must. From one another. We must know how we need to take from one another. I'm saying to you that there are people in that your bedroom, your husband, your wife. There are people in that your house, your apartment, who have everything you are looking for. Yeah. You must learn to recognize it. You must learn to recognize it. You know, it got to a point that Miriam and Aaron felt, what's the big deal about Moses? They said it. You know why they said it? Because it appeared like Moses made a mistake. Someone said, why do you always say it appears? It's not from my mouth, you hear it. The people that said it, we saw, you go and write it, that Moses made a mistake. Me, I won't write it. I will say it appears to them, not even to me. You know what God told them? God told them that, who do you think you are? That's what he asked them. Don't you know Moses? Say, you, when I talk to you in visions, with Moses, we yarn. Everybody just semper. You understand? Who was the one who now pleaded for them? The same Moses. Every time Israel said, they grumbled at Moses, who pleaded for them? The same Moses. Moses was human. Of course, was a human being. Like I said, I don't know. So, the truth is, we learn to see people the way God sees them. The way God sees them. And that's honor. And it's not just to leaders. It's to those in the service. Now, I'm particular this afternoon about those who are close by. Your family. Your friend. Look at James 5. James 5 is actually the scripture I had on my heart for this service. James 5. Are you there? It's almost like a direct instruction. 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Now, look at the next statement. Pray for one another that you might be healed. For the effectual prayer of a righteous man, that word avails much, means has power. So, if miracles are the demonstration of God's power, that means prayer makes power available. Now listen. It now says, pray for one another. Which means, in relationships, we should be able to pray for one another and make power available. Now, what cuts off the power? I just told you. Dishonor. Dishonor is unbelief. Anything you believe God wants to do in the earth for you, it will take a man. Yes. It will take people. So dishonor is when you don't see that person the way God sees the person. Pray for one another. I believe the power of God is available when we pray. And this afternoon, I'm going to give you an instruction. We're going to pray for one another and believe God together for the miraculous. I'm not talking about healing. I'm saying the miraculous. I'm saying the miraculous. Someone once told me, someone close to me, there was this thing about their family and it looked impossible. The person just called me and I said, all things are possible. Ah, he said, that's all I needed to hear. Then he says, can we stand in faith? I said, yes, we can. It was something you could never have imagined that they would, in fact, he didn't even know how close they are. He didn't know that kind of thing existed. I just released my faith and said that. You know, they got it. Because he just called a friend and we believed God together. Why did he believe what I said? Because he sees me the way God sees me. Why can't you tell your husband, oh well, I'm actually believing God for this in my office. And don't say, why? What have you done again? Oh, you know? Let's believe God. You're going for an interview or something. I say, we'll stand in faith together. Your friend is going for something, has to do something, anything. And you can say, let's pray for one another. And we'll make power available. It could also be a miracle in the body. I will say, well, let's believe God for it. That's the direction I have today. That the miraculous will flow through relationships where we honor one another. Where we see one another as brethren, as custodians of God's power. What will Satan do to stop this? He will get us to fight. He will get us to argue often. He will get us to see wrong. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't correct one another. He will get us to focus on that nag. He will get us to, you know, keep hearts. He will get us to, you know, this almost disdain, have someone in disdain. But you know what? Satan has no rule over us. Satan is ashamed now because he can't do that any longer. We are going to see the miraculous flow in our relationships. We're going to have testimonies of, you know, me and my business partner. We believe God together. Me and my husband. Me and my sister. And it came to pass. We're going to have testimonies along the lanes of, you know, he told me about someone at work that was, you know, down, due for surgery, might even die. And we stayed together. And we say, in the name of Jesus. That's working in our relationships. We can make power available. Power available. Power available. You see, our relationships are firstly supernatural than they are natural. And we allow God's will in the earth to flow and function through them. So right now, do an honor check. Fix it now, immediately. And say, well, I'll see this person, that person, in the light of God's word and God's word now. Let's sit down, but let's just pray in the Holy Ghost song. I sense there's a buffer of miracles about to take place. A buffer of miracles. Healing is involved. Open doors. You know. Stirrings. Yeah.